Welcome to Coffee with Ken, with your host, Ken Balsley.
Well, this is Ken Balsley. It's Coffee with Ken. We're at 44's with Coffee on the Marvin Road out in the Hawks Prairie area. And my guest today is a gentleman I've had on before, but it's been quite a while. It's the new chair of the Thurston County Commission, Bud Blake. Bud, welcome very much.
Hello, Ken. How are you doing there? It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see you because I haven't been able to get a hold of you or talk to you for decades. You're so busy.
I am a busy man, but it's all for the good of the county, so.
All for the good of the county. Now, is that a rehearsed line that you've just kind of taken in?
Public announcement out there, yeah.
So, you've been on the county commission now 2 years.
Yep, 2+ years.
Yeah. 2+ years, and now you're the chair. So what's the difference between being the chair and just being a commissioner? Do you have more responsibilities, more duties, what?
In this structure here with three county commissioners, the chair picks up two or three additional taskings, if you will. It could be a committee or some service, but it's usually just oversight of the finances of the county, which we incorporate in the budget anyway, but we kind of do a separate piece there. And then, the other one is the when we go to do the voting, they'll have a canvassing board. And they'll usually use the chair for something.
Oh, the chair's
like
on the canvassing board, right?
Then nothing grand.
But you also run the meetings.
Oh, you chair all the meetings. Yeah.
Do you set the agenda? Or how does that work?
Well, you do some agenda setting, but it doesn't mean I exclude everything. But only things that are pertinent and relevant to the given meeting.
Sure.
And so that way it doesn't get out of control. And then keep everybody on time when they.
So you run the meetings.
Yeah, sure. So it's kind of like a CEO kind of piece.
No. Mm-hmm. The county is a member of probably a dozen regional boards and commissions, and you have representatives on that.
Yeah,
do you appoint those as a chair, or how do you decide that?
Well, in this case, being the incumbent and having two newly elected commissioners, we sit down and did a round robin, and they relied a lot on my advice. And sometimes I actually said, no, you need to be on that one because of certain talents.
As the chair, mm-hmm. then you actually make the decision on who's going to represent the county on what boards and commissions?
Yeah, for the most part. But it's a gentleman's or ladies' agreement, kind of so to speak, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Right. We don't argue over it. We debate it, but it's not. It's all amenable.
Well, for the first 2 years of your term, you were on with two liberal Democratic women.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, they were Democrats. They declared Democrats, and sometimes they were liberal, and most of the time they were, but sometimes they weren't.
Can you just give me a simple answer?
Well, sometimes it's not that simple. I mean, you talk about Commissioner Wolf, she was moderate on some things, but if you talk about Commissioner Romero, she was very much into the environment, and is very much known that way, so...
So anyway, you are often outvoted 2-1 on many issues.
On many of them, yes, sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know you don't say anything bad about the commission. I know you enjoyed them, you liked them personally, and you always said we worked well together.
Previous commissions.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you want to restate all that again?
For the most part, and then the honest aspect of that is we didn't always agree on everything. And that's kind of why it was a 2-1 vote. But at the same time, there is a professionalism amongst us where we respect each other. And, again, there were heated debates and many times, but it's at the end of the day, you leave it there at the table, so to speak. So.
In all that time, did one of them team up with you against the other?
Say that again?
In all that time you were on there for 2 years, did one of the other commissioners – team up with you against an
oh yeah, you know, that is actually
because I've never heard of it, but
it was a unique experience for the first 2 years. Sometimes Commissioner Romero and I would vote against Kathy, Commissioner Wolf, and sometimes Commissioner Wolf and I would vote against Sandra. Sometimes and often they would vote against me, but you kind of really don't know in some ways. It's some things you do on some of the more standard pieces of legislation, but it's just kind of unique how we go in same stream, so to speak, on certain issues.
Well, it's been 6 months now since the election, and your new commission members. Have you had any contact with Sandra or Kathy?
Not a single word.
Not a
I know
single
they're living
peep.
A life happily as retired and doing the great things they want to do as retirees, but I have not. So, but it's okay.
So now you got two new commissioners. These are people that you supported and endorsed for the election.
Yeah, sure did. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming you guys have the similar ideas on how the county should be run and what should be done.
Yeah, fiscally responsible, Probably law enforcement is going to be at the forefront because we believe in security.
We have a couple of law enforcement people on the commission now.
Mm-hmm, sure do.
And so then, is John Snaza happy?
Well, he is, yeah. Snaza. Absolutely, yeah. Snaza, Sheriff Snaza and the sheriff's
office. Getting more money and stuff in the budget?
No, that hasn't happened yet, to be quite honest with you. I've been able to get two new deputy sheriffs and all this, but it's not the onslaught of a dollar. Yeah, you got to go in there and do the right thing and budget and do the prediction piece of it. So
how is it working with people that are more more in tune with your feelings? With your ideas?
For me, it's a very good feeling. I'll tell you that not every word of every sentence we agree on, even though we are kind of like-minded, we have our own ways of doing it, and it's kind of par for the course. I mean, a former sheriff of 20 years, he has his way of doing things. A former Olympia police officer of 35 years, and then me as a colonel, 25 years. It's mostly style, but in the end, we kind of wind up at the same, if you will. So.
And what I know is what I read in the papers. I don't have any other information. But a couple of times, Gary Edwards had wanted to do something, and you just said, well, we can't do that. you've had to rein him in a little bit.
Yeah, and that's actually a great point because it's been fun watching those two learn the public process.
You mean to come to the realization that there are some constraints on what they can do, right?
Yeah, yeah. Whereas our decision cycle in our former life was kind of small and immediate, here there's a public aspect of this, and there's a huge legal aspect of this, and there's a huge financial piece of this. So if you want a particular action done, it might take 2-3 months, believe it or not, and that's fast, and that's not bureaucratic at times, because we do not
It's just the process.
Yeah, and you need that public input, or else you're going to be wrong from the beginning, and I absolutely mandate that happens.
Well, because the process is something that government has to have.
Yeah.
And you can get sued if you don't follow the process.
Sued, and you know, you're representing the public, so you need to be there to hear, even if you disagree, or they disagree with you, it needs to be heard. And if they're not heard, then you're wrong. You don't need to be in that job, quite honestly.
So before we get into some more specifics on specific issues, what have you learned in 2 years?
What have I learned in 2 years? That people are very much in tune with politics, though they don't really know it, but how it governs their life. And so that if you're not out there talking with them and interacting with them and not sitting behind a desk, then you're wrong as far as being in that position. You're going to make legislative decisions and policy and other decisions. It might be missed something different with the road, but you never know how that's going to impact the community and hurt them on time and money and efforts in raising their kids. So you really need to be engaged. And if you're not doing that, then you're
well, I'm trying to figure out what you're saying. You're saying that the county needed to do a better job of communicating with the constituents?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to figure out what you're saying.
In some respect, I'll say this. The previous board did not do that. And there was coffee chats and what have you, but I'm talking differently than that. You need to go see on the site and where people are living their lives and how your impact, your legislative impact is really having an effect on them, and dollar-wise or community-wise.
And so you need to go out and explain what you're doing and why you're doing it?
Yeah, sure.
That's the idea?
And so I've learned.
So how do you do that? I mean,
well, you just get from behind that desk.
Go on out and have coffee? What do you do? I mean,
I walk the site with them. If it's a land use issue, be it gopher or road going into there.
Oh, so you go out with an individual somewhere or sit down with an individual and talk with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
sometimes, well, no wonder you don't have any time.
Yeah. In fact... That's true. They'll either come see you at the office or you go see them, but I really prefer to go see them. It's the best way to do that. So I did that the first 2 years a lot. And as a chair, they've been coming to see me at my office this year. Right. But I really like going to see people. So
I don't know. Do you have a communication specialist or a public relations person for the county? If you do, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, we're right now in the hiring for that person. So John Tennis was there almost 25 years, and so he departed here, and God bless him. He did a wonderful job, but it's just that point where we had to transition, and we were in...
And you were having financial difficulties after the recession like everybody else was.
It went from three positions
to two. You had to eliminate some positions.
So you
have reestablished that position then?
Not the third position. We just have two, and we're going to go with two for right now.
So
we have Megan Porter. She is absolutely phenomenally great in what she does. But she, as you can imagine, with two new commissioners and one old dog like me as an incumbent, we've been inundated.
One old dog, 2 year incumbent. Yeah, you're an old dog.
We've inundated her with a lot of public announcements and what have you. And so she's there by herself until we get the other person hired.
I do want to talk about some of the issues, some of the things you guys have been doing that's drawn criticism in some quarters.
Okay.
You know, your abrupt firing of different people that you've let go and so forth.
Yeah.
How do you make that determination? And the reason I ask that is because I know that you can't talk in private. I mean, you can't meet with one of your other commissioners and talk about it.
Yeah, so sure. Is a point where you can talk in private with your colleagues, your TC mates, in what they call an executive session.
Oh, okay. And personnel matters.
But that's very specific to three particular areas.
Personnel matters.
Personnel matters, that's exactly right. For land use and for other litigious
actions. So you go into executive session, you can discuss that then.
Right. But outside that, by the way, you're not allowed to make any decisions inside the executive session time frame.
I'm aware of the Public Meetings Act.
But I forgot your question.
Well, the question, the question was, how do you arrive at those decisions that you're going to need that you want to get rid of some people? Do you have something that you're looking at, like some kind of a mission statement or something, and you're looking at that and saying, this person doesn't fit into that? I mean, how...
You know, Ken, it's no different than when you're running a private business and maybe even a nonprofit.
Well, it is different
well,
because you impact the public.
Yeah, well, you look at performance, and that's the first thing. And if a person is not there in terms of performing, and the next thing you do is look at risk. And if there's a risk that's going on, be it to the people that they're working around or to the public, as you just mentioned, or to the county as a whole, you kind of measure those two. And when they don't come together as far as an equation that gives you the solution you're looking for, you're probably going
to
be looking at...
So it doesn't have anything to do with that these people were hired under the old regime and that they have a different political persuasion?
I give you my word, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. But
if you give me your word, I trust your word. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know... I believe you. So,
yes.
So their politics had nothing to do with it.
None whatsoever. I love D's. I love R's. I love I's. I love people. And
I don't want to hear any more of that crap.
I know, but it's the guy's honest truth. So it doesn't matter. Well, you need to balance.
You've told me that when I first knew, running.
Here's the proof in the pudding. Look at South County. It's highly conservative. You come to North County, it's very liberal. If you're not living in this community and not know that there's two types of politics going on, and know how to make that happen, uniting them at the courthouse, then you're kind of, you really don't need to be in that job again. And I repeated that a couple of times, but that's the quintessential piece of being a county commissioner, is bringing everybody together.
So. Well, when you were running the first time, we were talking, you said that as a military officer, you never really took political positions. You couldn't do that.
You cannot do it in the military.
And so that you didn't really have any political position.
I do not.
Or political persuasion.
I'll let you know and tell you.
And has that helped you then as a county commissioner?
Phenomenally.
In all this political...
Phenomenally, yeah. As I said on the radio back then, when I deployed, I didn't do the security and protection of the United States because you are R or D or whatever. That's what you do. And,
okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about the septic system fee.
Okay, my favorite.
Well, yeah. I have some strong feelings on it, but I want to talk to you about it.
Okay.
So 46,000 septic systems, is that what we're looking at in the county?
That's
about
a number.
Half of them are in Lacey, but...
Mm-hmm. That's a number out there.
Yeah, we don't really know for sure.
That's right, yeah. So
it could be less, could be more, but it's a lot.
It's a lot. That's a great way to say
it. So if you don't know how many are out there, how do you know who's going to pay the fee?
Right.
I'm asking that question.
Well, geographically, it's going to be those that live in the urban growth areas and the unincorporated. That's one way of doing it, and then with the Board of Health, we can do the cities, but
no,
it's very rare.
I'm looking at the technical aspect of it.
Okay, sorry.
They're not registered. Septic systems aren't registered. How do you know that you have to that you have to pay the $10 fee? And how do you get the addresses and all that stuff? I mean,
if you have septic versus sewer, then you were going to pay it.
Well, my question again was, how do you know the person's on the septic tank? If they're not on sewer, they must be on septic. Is that what you're saying?
Sure, we have that information down to the household level. We have that. It's who's on septic, who's on sewer, and who's being converted from sewer to septic.
Now, it's my understanding it's a $10 fee. Of course, that's a monthly fee.
No, it's an annual.
Annual fee. Mm-hmm. But you raise $4-5 million.
Maybe about like $2 million.
$2 million. Mm-hmm. 46,000 times 10 is $4,600,000.
Yeah.
So they weren't all going to pay, right?
No, well, not everybody paid. Yeah, some did. Especially
there are some that are in a
you should know that it started off as a tiered system for $22, $44, and $66.
Right, I remember
then,
that.
And then it reverted back to the $10. But then that was only the tiered system was only for the unincorporated portion, and the $10 went countywide, no whether you live
right,
in the
whether
city
you're in a city system or not.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Even those of us on sewer would have to pay that $10 fee. And the rationale behind that is that we all pollute the groundwater, whether we're on a sewer or a septic system, and we need to protect the groundwater, right?
Sure.
It wasn't that the rationale behind
the
everybody
rationale
paying?
Was that there were septic systems that were failing, and that's also controversial, is the definition of failing, but it wasn't 46,000 that were failing, obviously, and there's a certain percentage that do need to be maintained and upgraded, and that was kind of the heading off or being doing a preventive thing.
The question that I was trying to get at is that those of us on sewer, we're going to pay that $10. We're going to pay that $10 fee anyway because we all drink from the same groundwater.
Sure.
Right.
In most cases, yeah.
And how was that money going to be used?
Education, outreach, and education. Yeah.
And so that means you're going to hire more county staff.
Yes, there were three. It was originally seven and went down to three. But we haven't hired a single person yet.
No, right, because you don't have the fee.
Yeah, we took it out.
Yeah.
We repealed it.
So what was the rationale for repealing it?
Yeah, because the rationale for repealing it was that whether it be $8, $10, $60, the dollar amount I won't say important to us, but we wanted the dollar to match the actual actions within the plan to get the water quality that we're looking for and maintain that water quality over the number of years. And we just didn't see it in this plan that we have here. And so while that we didn't really do away with the plan that we have that we just voted on, we're going to go back and look at it just a little bit.
You still have the plan. You just eliminated the fee right now.
Yeah, because we didn't want it to go to the treasurer and start doing the collection, and which takes about
when
a year.
When was that
and
supposed
a half.
To start?
January 2018, but it takes a year of time to run up to that. So we wanted to prevent that right now. So we just stopped the funding of it, and we're going to look at the plan.
So then do you anticipate that somewhere in the near future that there will be some kind of a fee?
I do. I'm not saying we're getting out of this. There's just no way. We're environmentally strong. We just want to make sure the dollar is spent appropriately for the outcome we're looking for.
So there'll be a fee of some kind, and it will be used differently as opposed to education outreach. It'll be used to help
the
system. I mean, is that what you're talking about?
You're absolutely right. We want water quality. And if it means some education component to that and outreach, yes, but we want water quality better than anything else.
Would part of it be used for mandatory testing?
Mandatory, I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out how you'd find the failing systems if you don't test.
Well, you're going to have some testing. I don't know about the word mandatory. I would like people to be involved with it. That's another aspect of the outreach.
Well, you come to me and you say, we want to test your septic system. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, if it's failing, you're going to have to replace it.
Yeah.
I mean, so the money wouldn't be used for replacement of it?
No, it's not for that.
Yeah,
no.
Okay. it's a real big problem.
If you're septic, you're going to fix it.
I mean, it's a problem, right?
Yeah, sure. But we definitely want to head off any kind of failures as it pertains to water quality. That's the goal.
So let's talk about the gophers.
Okay, I could do that. We're having fun with this.
Well, I understand that Gary didn't get to do what he wanted to do.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm reading the paper now. That's all I know. Okay? Well, you haven't talked to me in ages.
I know, but it's about to the process. And so,
it's a part of the process. Mm-hmm. Well, you have an agreement with the Fish and Wildlife, right? Is that it? And so the agreement has to take precedence?
I don't know if I would use the word agreement, but there is an
understanding
okay. And compromise.
There's an understanding compromise.
And I'm not trying to play picky with
right,
the words.
I understand. There's a difference.
So just yesterday, we signed a letter sending it back to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife locally here in Lacey, stating that we only want two inspections versus three, because there's a 30-day period between each inspection, and that would bring it out to 90 days.
So you're not trying to scrap the understanding. And you're not trying to renegotiate. You're just trying to renegotiate parts of the understanding.
Sure. The interim plan right now for the building season that's coming up. We want to make sure we have that.
So you're trying to get something in order so you'll be able to build this summer as opposed to...
For this summer. That's right.
But is the long-term goal then to eliminate that agreement? Or, what is... You got to have a long-term goal.
We do. And so that
is that a way for Donald Trump to change the fish and wildlife?
Well, that could happen, and that definitely would be in our benefit. And if that happened, we would not be disappointed,
right?
Because there are some things we staunchly believe in terms of the overzealous reach of the federal government on this. On this being the gopher issue.
Now, did the spotted owl decision by the federal courts, did that play any bearing on potential down the road?
It absolutely does, not only socially, but most importantly, economically, especially in the South County.
For those that don't know, the federal court ruled that the spotted owl plan, which sits aside, 25 million acres or some significant amount, was too broad, and they sent it back to be narrowed down, I guess.
Yeah,
but by that time, all the timber industry is already dead, and
yeah.
All the independent loggers are gone. All the Jiffa loggers are out of the business.
Yeah. So,
it's been 30 years or something like that.
I can't remember.
It's been a long time.
You have a better memory than
it's
than
been
me.
About 30 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So it took them 30 years to work their way through court.
Yeah. But so just to recap, the interim, we just signed a letter there. And on the what we call the plan, which is the Habitat Conservation Plan, or a.k.a. HCP, as soon as we get through the interim, we'll start working on the Habitat Conservation Plan. And right now we have it down from, it was at $151 million, and we think we have it down to $105 million or $60 million, depending on how much risk we want to take. So that is kind of preliminary.
So right now you're tinkering with it.
You're just kind of tinkering with it to try to
get it this year, something done for this year.
That's right.
And the long-term goal is to maybe change it.
Change it to where it's tailored to Thurston County and doesn't harm the economic engines that we need here to produce.
In the long term,
yeah.
The whoosh is that there'll be a change in management at the top of the Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Well, if that happens, that's to our better and to our advantage. But we're not out advocating that for everyday life or whatever. So
no, some of the decisions you've made, like. The septic system thing and Emma, you do it, has drawn a lot of criticism from people who think that you're out raping the environment.
Yeah, sure.
Are you?
No, we're not going to do that. We're very protective of the environment. And in fact, we put our environment right up there at front with all the other issues, public safety and economy. I mean, there's no given one you do on any given day. You have to have that balance between
but
the three.
But they come to you all the time and just criticize you for your actions, that you're overturning 10 or 12 years of liberal policy.
Oh, I don't know about overturning. We're modifying to adjust it to today's times. And we're modernizing. And a lot of times it's new thinking that's going on that needs to be incorporated, new technologies. It's just the way you have to adjust to the times.
So. Now, I want you to tell me the truth now.
I always tell you the truth, Keith.
Are all the staff in the courthouse playing any out of your playbook now?
Oh, you know my secrets then. it's really just keeping the esprit de corps and the morale up and delivering those services and making sure those services that are expected by the county to be there for the people. But, it's a change there. It's a lot of laughter now. It's a lot of, just being
Well, one of the things
team.
You wanted to do was make them more responsive to the public.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
So have you changed your operating hours and your counter hours? And
we
added staff?
On some things we have, like the permit assistant office, or it went from 8 o'clock to 12:30 to 8 o'clock till 5 now, and 5 days a week. And that's been a very good move, because there are people who can get there at 3 o'clock and still submit their paperwork for permits, be it a deck or a barnyard or a house. And
so
we'll make sure they
have public service is something that you guys, all three of you, have been pushing?
Oh, my gosh.
The public is the reason we're here.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not the environment that's why we're here, and it's not the gophers why we're here. We're here for the people.
That's exactly what it's about. Yeah, I mean, as the saying goes, we work for y'all. We work for the public, and if we're not doing our due diligence in that, then maybe we should reconsider.
So let's talk about the thing that was in the paper just I think this morning, wasn't it?
What's that?
About that you took away the welcoming. Oh, he's busy right now. He's texting something.
No, just go ahead.
I don't remember what I was going to say now.
Oh, you're talking about the immigration thing.
See, I forgot to tell me what I was talking about.
I know
about.
Exactly what you're
doing. So you were paying attention while you were texting. Do you do that in driving too?
No, I never do that. My assistant would get on to me.
I got you. That's right. What's your assistant's name?
Erin Berklid. She is absolutely phenomenal.
And she's been with you for the whole 2 years?
No, Sherry was with me, but she moved on a new job. And then Aaron, we hired Aaron on here in the last month or so. And
so she serves at your pleasure? You can fire her anytime?
Well, I don't know if I put it that way. At my pleasure, sure. Yeah. How they say it, sure.
And so when you leave, she leaves?
Well, I'm not leaving, so.
No. And you're not up for election this year either.
So she's staying with me, so.
I was just checking.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Checking to make sure that she's an at-will employee.
She is at will. Very well said, yeah.
So talk to me about the about your anti-immigrant policy.
Well, I would not say.
Well, that's what the paper said.
Of course, they have to say that to a degree, and you know, that's how some people perceive it. But it's absolutely better in terms of broadening our arms and embracing more people into this county, no matter what your immigrant status is. We are absolutely for bringing on a policy that would support something like that. It's really that, and to hedge off anything that the federal government might have done in terms of taking any kind of federal dollars and still get that result we're looking for being
so your concern was that you wouldn't get the federal dollars if you didn't make some changes.
We want to stave off that risk, get ahead of the game, and still keep what we want for us.
And you don't hold people for ICE.
No, not.
I mean, a lot of police departments are doing the same thing. They're not doing that part.
Well, when you say
if you got a felony,
when you say the we, that would be the sheriff. But obviously, the county commissioners don't do that.
Well, I understand that, but you can set the tone.
Yeah, we talk with the sheriff, and we take the sheriff's lead, but he does not hold for ICE. Unless there is probable cause for the right reasons and all the other things that come. But just because of your immigrant status, I know they do not for a fact hold.
Hey, speaking of the sheriff, he's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he's doing good.
I had him on my show here a few weeks ago. And
I was just in a meeting with him, yeah.
Yeah, looking pretty good.
Yeah, he's coming back strong.
And do you guys get to hang out socially?
Sheriff and I? Oh, yeah, anytime we want. I mean, he's been busy, I've been busy, but yeah.
Do you go motorcycle riding together?
No, we do fun runs together. We do fun runs together.
Well, we've been talking almost a half hour now.
Yeah, sure.
So I guess my question to you is there something you want to talk about? You want to tell me some kind of a secret that I don't know?
A secret?
Well, something that nobody knows yet.
Wow, that's a very... I didn't know that you were going
to
ask me that.
Because the answer to your question is, almost anything you tell me will be something that I know, because I don't really follow the county government that closely.
Oh, really? Oh,
well,
my gosh.
When was the last time you saw me at a commissioner's meeting?
It's been a while, yeah.
You realize I'm on one of your commissions, though. I'm in your Thurston County Historical Commission.
Historical Commission. I remember signing you in. That's great. Voting you in. That's great.
That's right. You did.
Well, you've known Lacey history and Thurston County history for God knows how long, and we're greatly appreciative of having you there.
And you know, I'm almost the youngest one on that group, and I'm not that young.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that's a bunch of old historians on that group.
Oh, my God. That's great.
But Cammie Peterson is good to work with.
She's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, she's very responsive. Mm-hmm. And
she loves that, too, by the way.
She loves doing history, yeah. Yeah, but she only does it a third of the time.
Yeah, and then she works down here in the examiner's office. So we have great people at the county, be at public work. Oh, I'll tell you the one good thing I want to brag about. Sure. With the public health and social services, we have a new division called the Child and Family Wellness, and it's just started. But it's been not here in Thurston County. It's been lagging for the last, say, 12 to 13, 15 years. And while we have all kind of clinics and stuff, at the county, we've never had a child and family wellness program like what we're designing now. And especially with children being 30% of our population and 100% of our future, we're going to invest a lot of times in our communities. So.
I love the way you just throw in those old cliches. Like you've been rehearsing these. When you ask me about it, I say 30% of our 100% of our future.
That was very much impromptu. So.
Oh, yeah, right. You're also the Board of Health.
That's exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Board of Health has a lot of power.
Very much. And even over.
That's how you can do this. That's how you can do the septic fees.
That's exactly how it works, yeah. And the food inspections and water quality and all that.
I mean, you control everything, even in the cities.
It's even in the urban areas. Yes.
As healthy. Mm-hmm. Are you meeting with the city council Thursday night? When are you meeting with the Lacey City Council?
When am I meeting with them?
Yeah, as a health board.
As a health board,
it's sometime soon, right?
Well, we get together on mayor forums and some other.
No. You're having a joint. Right,
this Friday.
This Friday.
Yep, exactly. That's what you're talking about. But this is a jurisdiction to jurisdiction exchange. Yeah, mm-hmm. And we're going to start a series of that. We're doing it with the South Mayor County, South Mayors of the South County, Tumwater, and eventually.
So you're going to meet with the Lacey Council on Friday.
Yeah.
and then you're going to explain what's going on, and they're going to tell you what they want and that kind of stuff. That's how you change ideas.
It's
stuff.
Over dinner, and so it's open to the public, but it's over dinner, and we'll talk about annexations to
I-5.
Going to
be?
Over, I think it's at the city hall. I have to ask her. I don't know.
Well, you're going to find out where it's going to be and let me know?
Yeah. Is it on my thing for Friday to go to the Lacey Council? So, and those types of topics and to...
The Board of Health has a lot of power that, you know, that a lot of county commissioners don't have, you know, outside of the Board of Health.
Sure. That's true.
Because like you say, you can do... You know, you can reach into the cities and do anything that you can justify under health.
Food safety, what have you. Yeah.
And child welfare.
Child welfare, sure.
I mean, there's a lot of things that you can say, at health.
Yeah. It's all part of the business. I mean, it could be roads and bridges.
How do you keep all that stuff straight?
It's the passion of the job. It is absolutely the passion of the job. And connecting with great people out there to make things happen. And sometimes there's people who don't bring it to bring the goodness to the county. You got to ask them to leave. So
how many hours a week do you suppose you put in? It's got to be more than 40.
Oh, it's definitely more than 40, Ken. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Because I do weekend stuff personally. It's all on my own choice. And I would say up to 60 to 70 hours depending on the season.
A month. A week.
A week, yeah, sure. But, again, it's...
Well, of course, you're paid, too. You're compensated. It's not like a city council job.
That's right. I'm a full-time. Yeah, I get
paid. You get 150?
115. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $115,000 a year. It's all by a board that selects that nine-person board, so...
I'm familiar with how that process goes.
Yeah.
So, 2 more years, you're going to run for re-election? Is that your idea right now?
I'm considering.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They have to say that, because if they say they're going to, then they have to start filing forms with the Public Disclosure Committee.
Right, Public Disclosure.
As long as they say they're considering, they don't have to file the forms until...
Right. But, you know, there's so much time between now and then, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, sure.
And so we'll just say that I'm having a lot of fun, and it looks really promising, but I'm considering, sure.
One question I want to ask you, and I'll ask you off the mic.
Okay.
All right. But I really appreciate... That's going to get everybody wondering what we're going to talk about. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk to me.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. You know, you are a legend here in this county and an icon for Lacey for what you've bringing to us. And a great Rotarian, and I think the world needs for you doing that.
So thank you very much. I appreciate that. You can keep talking. No, we're done. Thank you very much, but I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Ken.
And the job with me. Yeah. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Boom.